Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime. Now, we have some exciting news tonight.
Oh, my God.
Tonight.
This is so exciting. I'm flipping out about this.
We are about to, in the next few months, I guess, create a Batman. Because one of us is about to become fabulously rich, and they are going to use that money. I'm looking at Pete because it's Pete, and they're going to use that money to become a vigilante. But
yes,
how is he going to earn this fortune? Tell us.
All right. So you guys like to make fun of...
Yes, and we may do that in one moment. But I don't want to interrupt the story because it's really important. But Pete told us this like an hour and a half ago.
Very casually.
And this is unbelievable news. All right. So excited.
So they make fun of me because for a while I would eat at Subway sandwiches.
There was a Subway sandwich shop downstairs that Pete would go to, and he would get a meatball sub with lettuce on it.
Yep.
Every
disgusting.
Day.
Hot lettuce. They called it a hot lettuce, right?
No.
Yeah, they called it a Pete.
Yeah.
You knew all the sandwich guys?
I mean, I would just give them the power nod. They knew what to do.
What a thing
this is,
to
you
do.
You think he's joking, but this is true. I was in there one time, and he was like, sup, give me the regular.
Wow.
Which is a horrible thing to happen at a Subway sandwich shop.
So they were busting my balls about the Subway sandwich that I would
lifestyle.
Eat. Yeah. And
that you
and
have.
I was like, yeah, laugh it up, assholes. But I might be getting a check from Subway because there's a lawsuit against Subway sandwiches.
What you want in any frequently visited restaurant is
all
corporate
the best restaurants.
Yeah. Exactly.
And because I ate there so much, I might be, if
no,
this
hold
litigation.
On. I have a question.
Yeah. They're calling you patient zero, am I right?
How did they find you? What was it, your Subway Club card, or what happened?
There was a record of, I guess.
A record.
They kept records of all the repeat offenders.
Yeah. Exactly. They're like, there's something wrong with this guy. He keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And microwaving the
lettuce.
I don't
know how they got a hold of me. I got a letter in the mail that said, because you visited Subway so often, if this lawsuit.
Did they say so often, or did they use the exact number?
And did they say to the family of the surely must be deceased P. LePage? if he's alive, how? And he may
those
be.
Those meatball subs are great. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man.
They're being sued for meatball subs.
It's not for their food, asshole.
What are they being sued for?
So basically, there was something about this scanning for reading my card. You know, if you paid with the card, there was something that was not secure about the system that they were using.
So every week, you were paying hundreds of dollars for a meatball sub.
Yeah, like, here's
just
your
never
money
noticed
back.
Because it's so good.
It's so worth it. It's worth it.
Wow.
All right. Well, I look forward to your sub cave.
Yes, it's going to be great. Yeah, so will you have like a meatball theme to your superhero that you become?
I don't know what's going to happen.
You throw hot lettuce in the criminals' faces?
I don't know why
because
you hate
that'd
lettuce.
Stop me from committing a crime. Tomato sauce and lettuce? That's insane.
Lettuce is great. I was trying to get a vegetable in there.
That's barely a vegetable.
That has no nutrients whatsoever.
The cheese is more like a vegetable. Than the lettuce.
The meatball probably has more vegetables in it than the lettuce does.
I don't know if that's true or not. But
I mean, it is true.
I'm sorry if you feel attacked.
We're
going to send you a letter. Honestly, this is like my Christmas.
This is great.
When you said that I went there so many times, they're giving me money for it. That's the American dream.
Yeah.
You put up with, you ate garbage for still up till now and then going forward. When was the last meatball sub you had?
It's been a little while.
What do you mean?
I mean,
minutes?
Check that gauge on his right behind.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah. Oh, he's got a prison tag here. That's how he's in there. I can smell hot lettuce on his breath, so I think he's been
lying.
There recently.
He's lying. Do you know what we're not lying about? Our amazing guest today. I'm very excited to have him back on the show. He's the writer of The Last God and Marvel Zombies Resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, Philip Kennedy Johnson!
Yeah!
Welcome to the show!
Welcome! Thank you for being here.
Hello! Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sit right
have a
down.
Seat. Have a microphone.
Thanks so much for coming.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. I love this show.
I'm very excited to have you here. This is your second time on.
It is, yeah.
You have released a ton of big projects since then, particularly Last God and Marvel Zombies Resurrection. Both came out on the same day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm into, like, super dark stuff. And then they both came out on Halloween, so it's kind of worked out.
How did that happen? I mean, was that just complete, total coincidence?
Totally. Yeah. I got the nod to do Last God at DC Black Label, like, way back. And we've been putting it together for, you know, like, a year or whatever. And then they wanted to do Marvel Zombies at Marvel, and I got the call for that completely. I mean, obviously, they don't talk. So, yeah, it just worked out sweet that they both come out on Halloween Eve.
How does it work with Black Label? Were you just like, I've been wanting to do this book, I'd like to do it here, or?
I had a good relationship there with some editors. I did an Aquaman annual there, and nice. The editor that I was talking to most on that book was a guy named Amadeo Turturro. He was assistant on that book, but he was the one I was in contact with the most. And then he was doing a lot of stuff at Vertigo after that. And he's a huge D&D guy. Amadeo is like, that's like one of his passions. When he's not doing comics, he's doing D&D. He was like, dude, would you want to do a horror book in a world where there's like wizards and shit? Like that was the pitch, like literally word for word. I was like, what am I going to say to that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved it. And so I put together an idea for a story that we could do. And it was, like, super huge and ambitious. And I was like, there's no way they're going to say yes to this. And then Amadeo took it to a pitch thing, and they bit, and we made it.
I mean, it's awesome. The book is fantastic, and it looks gorgeous as well. But it's a very different project for Black Label and for DC, because most of those have been riffs on their existing properties.
Yeah, right. Batman with his penis out.
Exactly. Other characters Joker with their his penis out. Yeah. Harley Quinn with her penis out, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
That's what the Black Label is. So this is a different sort of take.
So the question is, are there dicks in my book?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Thank you for being ahead of us. Yeah.
We were taking a couple more questions to get to that.
Yeah, we usually save that for the end.
Is it something that in some way is connected with the DC universe, or is it not? And in which case, what was the discussion like behind the scenes to publish it through Black Label?
It is not part of DC continuity. It's its own thing. The book is kind of a statement that the spirit of Vertigo lives on, and they're still doing really cool shit. Like the Joe Hill line coming out through Black Label as well. It's more like that. So, I mean, as you know, comics are, you know, ever changing. I'm not going to say there's never going to be any kind of crossover. Who knows? But as of now, that's not what this is. Like, it's its own thing. It's in its own world. There's no, you know, Superman's not going to be showing up in this book.
For those who haven't read it yet, what is the pitch line? What is the concept of the book?
The Last God takes place in a harsh, high fantasy world called Cana Noon, in which civilization is kind of in its infancy. It's a very, very harsh place. And in that world, 30 years earlier, this entity called the God in the Void, or the Last God, tried to end all that is, like this undead supernatural plague that's overran the world. And would have, if not for this Fellowship of Heroes, who, as they tend to do, they saved us all. And a generation later, everything's great, and the heroes from that fellowship are now the rulers of this world. But then something very unexpected happens, and then we learned that the story that they told the world was all a big lie, and it actually did not go down the way they said. And the Last God is not dead, and then this second cast of characters kind of gets swept up in this big adventure to right the wrongs of their predecessors and actually save the world and kill the Last God.
It's great.
It feels like there are a bunch of different fantasy elements, fantasy works that are at play there, but it definitely feels fresh at the same time.
Well, thanks.
That said, I'm curious, what were you pulling on? What source material were you looking at to inspire this book?
I mean, I'd be an idiot to say that Tolkien was not an influence, you know, but the book itself does not read like Tolkien, like not at all. All the dicks, especially.
There's so many, and Tolkien especially was like, there are no dicks on any of these characters. He established that early on. There are no weens, none of that.
Yes.
That's what he said. That's elfish for dick. Because he was into the languages.
We gather seven creatures without no weens. That's right in the first line of the...
John Bombadil said that.
Right, in The Lord of the Weens.
Yeah, in The Lord of the Weens.
Yeah, I remember that. What were we talking about?
I think we were talking to our lovely guest. I feel like a Frank Frazetta painting has a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. It reads more like there's a lot more harshness in a world like Robert E. Howard stuff, right? Like in the Conan stories or Call or Red Sonja. That's more the tone of this world, or even like Game of Thrones, really. Although this world is more primitive than that one. So the influence of Tolkien is really more in just the depth of the world building that he brought that I've always really admired, and the way he incorporates songs and folktales and stuff within his world. So it's not just you're not just getting the story that you're reading. It's also almost like the Tales of the Black Freighter or whatever. Like there's also sub stories within the story that you're getting that Tolkien also did in his work. Like he would get folktales or music. And every issue, DC was super cool. Like, as you know, books are usually 20, 22 pages, and this one is 28 because there's 24 pages in most of the issues of interior art. And then there's also 4 to 6 pages of back matter in the back of every single issue. And that's like folktales, music, like literally sheet music that I've written for this. Day job, my day job is music. With the Army band, like we discussed.
Yeah, we talked about.
So I write music for this thing and in world notation that no one can read but me right now, but also in music notation that people can actually read and play. Sacred texts, a lot of it is in foreign languages that exist in this world. Like I'm going like all in, like I'm just pouring the hours into this book. And that was inspired very much by Tolkien. I love that. All the back matter stuff just makes the world feel so much more real and authentic, you know?
Yeah, you're so. Silmarillion.
Exactly. Silmarillion is probably the biggest influence as far as just the depth of world building in that regard.
Well, let's talk, you mentioned this before, but it's such an interesting choice to start it at, this is a little bit of a spoiler for the first issue, but you started at the end of the big battle, flash forward, and then you're 30 years later, and you're essentially following this new character, this gladiator, who may or may not be trying to work his way free, though certain things happen by the end of the issue that throws him into new circumstances. Why was that choice important? It feels like you could have started at the beginning of the battle and going up to fighting this big enemy. You could have filled in that 30 years, but instead you're starting beyond that conflict right at the beginning.
I wanted to set the stage, to put us in the whole thing takes kind of a True Detective format where you see after the first issue, you see,
like the first season is good, second season is bad.
Yes, that's exactly what
Nice, looking forward to that.
And then the second issue is total shit. And the third one is great.
Yeah, the third one was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I meant was you see King Tyr and all his crew like back in the day, like in their heyday, right? And then you also see the Second Fellowship and how it plays out with them. And there are some characters in common, which is, I thought that'd be cool. But I really wanted to see the Second Fellowship is kind of what I consider like the present day one, where that's the one that kind of counts. But then you also see all these flashbacks.
Like I've been in a couple of fellowships as well. Yeah. And like you don't want to overburden yourself by doing too many fellowships. We're a fellowship.
Which one are you in the fellowship usually?
I'm the one with no weapons and just like sort of a bad attitude.
I'm the dead guy.
Yeah,
the dead body over there.
I'm the guy that stays behind at the bar. I'm sort of a hot pie.
Right.
In a Game of Thrones style. Uh-huh. I'm like I'm going to bake fun shaped.
I'm going to stay here, guys. Crossroads.
Was there a point to this?
I'm hot pie, but it's like it's alcohol based. I'm gonna make special cocktails for the knights to get drunk,
right, and not be involved in the action.
Don't want to go. So I'm still in the fellowship.
You also mentioned you've done a lot of planning and laid out a lot of stories. That's pretty clear even in the title, where it's The Last God, book one of the Fellspire Chronicles. Right. Is that right? So how much at this point of the Fellspire Chronicles have you planned out?
Oh, my God. I mean, more than we'll ever conceivably do. I can write this like Guillermo del Toro of comics, where I can just do like, I'm going to plan way more stuff than I can possibly get to in my lifetime. But it's, as I've been fleshing out the backstory, well, you see, like even in the back of the first issue, there's a tale about I got inspired by this statue that Ricardo drew in the comic, like in the front of the palace while it's burning. There's a statue of a woman there, and then I totally didn't tell Ricardo to do that. But it looked badass, and I was like, okay, well, she can't be there for no reason, especially because this is a kind of a male dominated society. It's like, okay, so she must be really awesome. And I just kind of, this whole story just kind of came out of this, the woman who founded that city and the circumstances and how, you know, why a human character would have been in this elven dominated continent that long ago. And it kind of became this big two-part story.
Cool. That's awesome.
So now she's like a full-fledged character, and like, and there's other characters that also get introduced in other, the back of other issues that kind of, there's a whole other crew kind of taking shape in that around, you know, centuries earlier before the events of this comic. And I have another crew like that centuries before that. And there's, I have ideas for stuff that happens later. So, I mean, I could write this the rest of my life. It's super fun. And just really, I just kind of, the more I create for this world, the more I want to make, you know? Yeah.
The, one of the other things that really makes the book work, you mentioned Ricardo, the artist, beyond the art being fantastic across the board, you always need a good villain. You need a good enemy. And the last god, the bad guy, doesn't really look like anything else. Again, was there any inspiration you pulled? Did it all come from the artist? What were you going for there?
I have been careful not to micromanage Ricardo because he is a freak show talent. Like, he's just unbelievable. So I really wanted, I want to leave him alone. I just so I give him ideas. Like, here's what I was thinking, and I had for the flowering dead, the like the undead plague that overruns everything. I really did not want them to just be zombies, you know, or like any kind of thing that we've seen before. So I described him as, okay, these can't be just zombies. They need to be profanities. They need to be things that combine plant life and dead flesh and smoke and ash. And, you know, each one should be different. And he came back with this crazy look. And they were inspired, at least my vision for it was inspired somewhat by the necromorphs from Dead Space. I'm observing gamers in here. But these things in a video game, they're like rejoined dead body parts, whatever.
Wow.
And then also another video game called The Last of Us, in which there are these things called the cordyceps. They call them clickers in the game, where this fungus thing grows out from their head and it splits it apart, and it combines a fungus with a body in a very creative, horrible way. And
cool.
So I didn't really force any of that on Ricardo, and some of that did kind of come out in the design, but he took it like 10 steps beyond and made his own thing. As far as the gods, though, I just told him what the gods were of. Like here's Mol Calocto, the god of the forge, and here's Mol Rangma, god of hunt and conquest, and here's Mol whatever. And he would just, based on what their kind of godlike jurisdiction was, they would come back like, well, what do you think about this? And they were always like home runs every single time. And Mol Ultep's probably my favorite, the god in the void, because there are these little, I can't even describe it, his limbs are not attached to his body. There's like these weird little kind of portals open up and his limbs come through them. And
There was one of the things that I really loved about those designs, and again, this is talking about the art, I guess, a little bit, but is that it is very disconnected, but it doesn't feel like an amorphous cloud. You can still get a sense of what the body is and what the figure is. It's very cool.
Yeah, I can't say enough good stuff about Ricardo. He's just a crazy talent. And just the collaboration. Like, I write a very detailed script. Like, the way the workflow works, Nat, I found works best with him, is to write a very detailed script, like, with exactly everything I was envisioning, with the understanding that I want him to mess with it. Like, please do what you do. And he'll come back, and like, a lot of stuff has changed, sometimes very significantly changed, and then I'll do a heavy rewrite based on what he's given me. And so it's a lot of like back and forth, like there's a lot of jazz happening on this book, more so than most of the stuff that I do.
That's always nice to hear.
Cool. Yeah.
We always ask with how much jazz.
Yeah. Need more jazz in comics.
Jazz it up a little bit, I always say.
Jazz.
That book is great. Second issue is coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, November 27th, and then a week from tomorrow.
All right. Nice. Let's talk about Marvel Zombies Resurrection, which is another one dealing with zombie/dead characters.
Yeah. Edited by a friend of the show, Jordan White.
Jordan D. White.
Woo! This was a huge franchise for a while. It obviously went away. You're bringing it back first with this one shot, and then a mini series next April.
Last I've heard, the plan is to bring it out in April.
What we thought, this was a great big swing, very different while still obviously being zombies. What was the mission statement here coming back to this?
Man, they've totally cut me loose in this book. They really have not been micromanaging me at all. Like, they just said, hey, we want to do another Marvel Zombies thing. What do you want to pitch it? Like, what do you want to do with it? And
You were like, Galactus is a dead spaceship.
Exactly.
Bow with dicks.
Yeah.
See you in a couple of months.
Yeah, exactly. That was actually kind of my first thought. I was like, I really like the idea of Galactus as a big dead spaceship. But yeah, the first run was super fun. I can make a rhyme any old time. The first series was not my jam as much. Like it was fun, right. But that's kind of what I didn't want to do again. I didn't want it to be like fun and campy. You know, it was cool, but it wasn't like serious. It didn't take itself as seriously as I kind of.
Well, felt like
it
were sort of like zombies were cool again. Walking Dead was sort of
right.
cresting, and so they were like, "We'll do this funny take on it."
That's exactly right.
And so that was what it was. But yeah, I always loved the idea of the zombie world, whatever it is. And so this I really took to because it's coming from like literally the opposite side. Like it's not one little zombie bite on Earth. It's a dead space god from space right. Crashing into.
Yeah, and this gets into spoilers of the book, but you also make this big bold choice to send basically every heavy hitter superhero up there and take them out immediately in the first issue.
That was insane.
How did you come around to that choice?
This is what I wanted to do. Rather than see everyone come to Earth and like start laying waste to Earth, I wanted to see, because this is the setup issue. You know, spoilers, there's more issues coming, and this is the one where it sets all that up. And I really wanted to see the Pantheon, the Marvel Pantheon, like, you know, those are the ones who really are going to do this. And plus it just kind of made sense, because I wanted Galactus to be this big question mark in the book. Like, okay, so Galactus is about him somehow. And they go up there to see, just to find out what is up there. I wanted it to feel like the Ridley Scott's Alien.
I was just going to say, it reminded me of Alien. Or you ever see this movie, Event Horizon?
Yes.
Which is like a super fucked up space movie. And that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, totally. I love that movie. And Alien 2. I really wanted it to feel claustrophobic. I wanted the deaths to feel like they matter. And it's not just like, you know, I've got stuff sticking out of my gut or whatever. I wanted it to be like a real deal, you know. I wanted the characters to treat each other like family, and I wanted to see them, you know, go down in really ways that like hurt us, and I can see what happens in the next issue. I want to be drawn back into the next issue, you know, and that you do that by giving them like a real emotional stakes. Like you want these people to survive, and they're not surviving so far, but maybe this one will. And
yeah, it's a big like holy shit, where do we go from here? Kind of start to it, which is really cool.
Awesome, thanks. That's totally what I wanted, and I cannot wait for you to see the next one. It's so fun. Like there's so many fun visuals, but also like the characters that are in that book. Like it's like this is my first big like superhero book with Marvel. I've done one of those story with them before, but it was like a war story, and it didn't use the big players. And for this to be my first big Marvel book where you can use anybody, and it's just...
Yeah, it's funny that you're like, oh, man, I get to all the great heavy hitters. I'm going to kill them immediately.
Exactly. Yeah. But none of those guys are my favorites, and I can't wait to really show, like, my favorites.
Oh, nice. It's like Ego, the not-living planet. Exactly. That possibility? Not a bad idea.
Maybe.
Yeah. Are you pitching stuff?
Yeah, are you pitching?
Start it out there. He's got a mouth.
Get points back.
Planet
back
with a
points?
Mouth. He bites other planets. They become zombies.
Like he goes up to Jupiter. He's like, oh.
Yeah, gotcha, Jupiter.
Gotcha. Now you're a zombie.
But Jupiter's just like a rock.
Right.
Ego's I don't know.
Name another living planet, real quick.
I guess that's the only one.
Yeah, there you go.
Cocky. Cool, Ego.
You have a couple of other projects you're working on as well.
I do.
What would you like to plug?
Well, I'm doing Killaman at Aftershock. I'm doing Killaman with Steve Orlando. We're co-writing that book with Alec Morgan on art. It's been super fun. It's a story about a closeted gay MMA fighter who gets outed at a press conference before his big title fight and loses everything. And it becomes then yes, you kind of have to see him fight his way back and regain everything and see him like really in the fight of his life in a lot of ways. So that's been really cool and fun to work on, especially now.
Teaser kind of like cover that you've been showing off looks amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
that's all Alec. It's we're super stoked for that book that comes out in spring, and I'm doing Ghost Recon at IDW, like adaptation of the game franchise.
Yeah. Well,
like a prequel to the Ghost Recon Breakpoint came out this past month, and this book is like a prequel to that. It's like deals with the protagonist Nomad and the antagonist of that game, who in the game is played by, the Punisher guy from Netflix. Forgive me. John Bernthal.
Yeah.
He's in it, and it's about those two guys and how, like, because the game talks about their past together, and this comic sets all that up and like how they knew each other before.
Now, when you're doing that, do you have to like play the shit out of the game?
No,
they give you like a here's what happens.
the game takes place after, so you're good.
Oh, right. So, but you don't. I mean,
have you not?
You have
played
to set
game?
Up some of that stuff, right?
What's
it's,
that?
Do you like, have to set up some of the games?
Yeah, if like yeah, well, you do. Yes. Writing the Candy Crush comic, you've got to play Candy Crush.
Oh, yes, if I had to read it. Yeah.
What happened
to
the Soda Saga, for example?
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to play the game for sure. I could. Funny, because when I was actually writing the thing, I couldn't play it. It wasn't out yet, and they were like, no, you can't have it. Ubisoft is incredibly protective of their IP, like gun up the nose the whole time. Like
Literally, every
PDF is password protected. Like, you don't screw with those guys. So I did not have access to the game for a while.
Huh.
But now I do. So as I'm writing it, I'm messing with the game and making sure I'm getting it right.
Cool. Nice.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
We'll definitely check out all of that stuff, and we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week.
Yeah. A few.
Yes, a few. Three of them even. Let's kick it off talking about The Wedding of Spider-Man and Black Cat, number one from Marvel Comics. What's going on here, Pete?
First off, this isn't a real. This is, you know. I
no,
mean,
this like, is real. This actually
is real.
No.
Look at the cover.
Yeah, no, I saw the cover, but it's like, you know, Spider-Man is not like.
If you get a wedding invitation,
he's being forced to kind of do.
If you get a wedding invitation, says Justin's marrying a person, like it's not fake.
Yeah.
Also, I can't imagine a world where Spider-Man would marry somebody and then just give it up immediately. You know?
Yeah, it's not a joke.
Yeah, this is cool, right? This is a fun bit.
Thank you.
The Black Cat book that's been coming out for, I think it's like six or seven issues in, has been great, written and drawn by the same team. It's really fun, and yes, they do get married technically, but it's because for a scam marriage,
yeah,
which is a normal thing to do.
Right.
I've been involved in several marriage scams.
My current marriage is a scam marriage.
Oh, I know that.
Man.
I know that.
Oh, did I? You did.
It's a pyramid.
Cut that out of the.
It's a pyramid marriage. You marry someone, and then you each marry.
It's a multi-level marketing marriage.
Cool. great. I don't know where the profit is in that. Is it children?
Yeah, we're going to sell them eventually.
Nice. Sell the children, you say?
Yes. You can get a nice markup for that thing.
That's right.
Longer you keep them around. And then there's a certain point where it peaks and they're not fresh anymore.
That's right. What do you think, 18 or like 45?
Yeah, I don't know. This got very dark.
Yeah, great. The Black Cat book though is so good. It's very funny and a little bit different than everything else on the stands. I've been really liking it, and this issue feels like it actually was setting up the series oddly, because in the end it says check out Black Cat number one, and then the next page says check out Black Cat number seven. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Whatever you want, choose your own adventure.
There's a very tense moment. I'm always scared that I'm going to be in a room full of people and then someone's going to yell like Hell Hydra or Mortal Kombat, and I don't know about you guys.
You worry about that now?
Yeah, constantly. That you know, and
someone's going to yell Mortal Kombat, and then what happens?
Then everybody has to fight each other. That's how it works.
In Mortal Kombat, don't just two people fight and everyone watches?
Yeah, but if you yell Mortal Kombat, that's like saying everybody fight each other. That's like the. That's how it works.
I guess that is in. There's a law that said you can't yell Mortal Kombat in a crowded building.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Actually, I saw somebody yell that, and Pete started ripping people's spines out. Right
yeah.
We were at a children's museum.
You can get away with that because it's like someone yelled Mortal Kombat, Your Honor. So, what was I supposed to do?
Legally.
Yeah.
And we should say Pete is on trial, and Boothman is the judge in this case, oddly, as the voice above all.
Hopefully you're going to win the case and get some of that Subway money. That's what this is for.
A follow-up question. I didn't want to ask this during the interview, but it is an interview question for you, Pete. When you got the letter from Subway...
It wasn't from Subway. It's from the lawyer team that is...
The lawyer team of Subway and Subway.
Yeah, I was going to say, of salami, meatball, and provolone, right?
But it sucks that provolone got the third billing, because they work really hard.
Provolone is a junior partner.
Not a great lawyer. A little triangle. So where did it? When you open the, you opened a letter from a law firm. Maybe you were a little nervous.
You heard that distinctive waft of the Subway bread.
Yeah,
cooking.
It smelled like a yoga mat.
I wish.
And you opened the letter, and there was the Subway logo in the letter itself.
No.
So where are you sure this isn't? You're just being brought up to trial on another charge.
No, I mean, it clearly said, you know, Subway sandwiches and like, yeah, but they didn't have the logo. Yeah, no logo.
Well, huge mistake.
Were there coupons in there?
Yeah. I would have used them if there were. Okay. Yeah.
Does a lawyer also make sandwiches at a Subway?
How would I know that?
That's great.
We'll come back to this. Let's move on and talk about Batman Detective Comics number 1015. I assume that's what this is actually called, and not Mr. and Mrs. Freeze.
No, and I'll tell you what, I've been going to the comic book store a little bit late in the week, and so all that is left are these, like, sort of hologram. Plastic. They're not hologram, but it's like
layered
covers, and I don't like them.
You don't like them?
No. Really?
I just want the regular cover. Thank you. Wow. That's
somebody brave enough to speak up.
The revolution began tonight.
Did you like the hologram covers that they had back in the day?
At the time, but I was fooled like everyone else, and now I just want regular comics.
So I think what happens is you were hurt once, and now you feel like...
I wasn't hurt by it.
So just to talk about the content of the comic book.
Interesting. There's an inside as well as the cover.
So Mr. and Mrs. Freeze, specifically Nora Freeze, has been unfrozen at this point. She is a Mrs. Freeze. She has the same powers as Mr. Freeze, and they're committing crimes together and fighting Batman. This is pretty good. That's it.
Great review from Alex. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that, you know, if I found out that the person I loved had turned to crime and was doing all these... Wait, what am I saying? I'd be totally into that.
Wow.
Never mind. I was going to say, I was surprised that she was so cool with, like, hey, you've been killing people and keeping me alive. Great, let's fight crime together. But I guess it makes sense.
No, it's let's commit crime. And then Mr. Freeze is like, no, I commit crime so that we can be together and in love. And she's like, I like crimes.
Yeah.
And then she goes off.
And then Batman teams up with Mr. Freeze, which is a fun twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last one to talk about, Runaways number 27 from Marvel Comics. What?
No, great. We really got to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
We got to move this along. Get back to our Subway bits.
As journalists, I feel like we really...
Don't call us journalists.
We handled the headlines.
You're not journalists.
Okay, lawyers.
We are neither
sandwich lawyers.
Defendants? Oh, in Pete's case, he's a victim.
Oh, my God.
You're technically a victim here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you... Sure. When you go into a Subway now, do you say, I'm a victim?
Yeah. No, when he walks into a Subway, everyone's like... Because you're the hero. It's like Mr. LePage goes to Washington.
There's some senator that just has sacks of Subway sandwiches.
We should talk about comics.
Like, they're coming in from everywhere. All the sandwiches. Pour them on his desk. There's mountains of them.
So Runaways.
You don't understand the Subway sandwiches. They're in your house. At your house.
What accent are you doing?
I think this is Jimmy Stewart.
It's Jimmy Stewart.
Oh. No. Only after very close to death. Jimmy Stewart. Are you sad?
It's sad.
More Patrick Stewart than Jimmy Stewart, really.
Yeah. There are four lights.
Wow. Okay.
What just happened?
I know the reference. You're making a very esoteric Star Trek Next Generation.
Earl Grey hot.
Yeah, good. That's a little bit better.
Make it so.
You sound like
Runaways.
You sound like you're having a stroke, and Patrick Stewart's having a stroke.
I mean, I don't want to say that's not true.
Okay.
Let's talk about Runaways number 27.
Thank you.
The Runaways finally get costumes. After years, they're dressing up as superheroes. You wanted to talk about something from our Patreon Slack.
Patreon Slack, there was a big argument over whether you call it a costume or a uniform. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. For a superhero, is it a costume or a uniform?
I think it's a uniform for the superhero, but, you know, for us, you know, like we would say, that's a costume.
See, I would argue that if it's something like the X-Men... Where, well, like certain period of X-Men, it would be uniform if they're like kind of like literally uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like the poofy black jacket, Frank Quitely version.
Sure,
like those uniforms kind of. But if like Emma White's got her thing and then Wolverine's got his thing, like, are those uniform really? Like, those are costumes to me.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you guys think?
So the line is about, the line between the two is if it's everyone is sort of together, if there's a unifying force.
If there's a uniformity.
Well, let me throw this out to you then. Maybe this came up in the Slack and I just missed it, but for something when the
event... You should join the Slack. It's a great discussion.
You've been, ironically, you've been slacking on the Slack.
For something like the Avengers jacket era, where everybody kind of had their own costumes, but was all wearing the same jackets with the insignia on it. Yeah. What is that? Is that a uniform or a costume?
It's a uniform enough, probably, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Uniform.
What do you guys think?
Uniform.
I mean, you've been in the military. You don't get to, like, throw an extra couple colors on your... You don't get to wear a different undershirt.
No. But we have a different, like, bling that we still put on based on what we've done, and, you know...
The bling is the official term, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They give it for every time we kill somebody new, they give us a new bling for that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, this just got dark.
Very funny. Well, I've always called them costumes across the board, even if they match.
Let's talk about this comic book. I love what they're doing here. Putting the Runaways in uniforms or costumes or whatever you want to call it feels wrong. It's purposely wrong. They don't feel comfortable with it. They don't want to be superheroes. But I love the idea of exploring that, what that means if they do get these costumes, if they do act like superheroes. And eventually they're going to ditch it, of course, and get back. But it's such a fun thing to play with, and this book is so good right now.
It's very good. It's smartly written. It feels very like The Runaways, the original run of The Runaways, where it felt very unique and different from other like teen superhero, teen team comics. This feels like it's gotten back to that.
Cool.
Great. Thanks, Pete. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right. It is time for my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions.
Woohoo.
Nice. For that, if you got a question for our guests or for us or, you know, another member of the audience, that's fine, too. Just go ahead and ask it.
Another member of the audience.
I'd like to ask a question for
that
person.
I'm just saying, if anybody wants to propose marriage,
they can.
It's a scam.
You know what? If you're going to have a question for the other audience member, just ask it outside. How about that's a better policy?
I don't know. What if they run off at the end of the show or something?
Yeah, then I don't think the question was meant to be asked.
What if the question is relevant to the show?
No, interesting. Cool. All right, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, let's watch what happens. Kevin, what's your name? What's your question?
Alex.
First, I want to pick up on something that I think we've kind of lost track of somewhere. Now, Justin.
Yes.
Pete may be the star of trivia, but I think you're the real star, man.
Wow. Great.
Nice. Did that unlock the quiz?
That does not, but I'm glad that it's being followed up on because...
Nice try, dude. That's that was a solid try.
Because either I have already thought of something, or now I know that I have to start thinking of something because you just opened that Pandora's box.
Wow. So that could have been it.
That could have been it, and maybe next week it will be. But
wow.
No, it's very... I'm just kidding. Good.
Yeah.
I love the distant callback. Now,
the Starman quiz is ready to be unlocked.
Earlier, we were discussing fellowships.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from that to favorite team titles.
Ooh.
Favorite
team titles. Philip, let's start with you. Do you have a favorite team title?
Ever?
Yeah.
Man, I really liked Remender's Uncanny X-Force.
Wow.
That was a killer run.
Yeah.
That was good.
And that was where it was half Avengers, half X-Men? No, that was
all Sharp.
It was all Sharp one, as he likes to say. I agree with you, man. That was a badass team.
So good. Yeah. Like that was, after that I was like, dude, no one can write Deadpool except Remender from now on. That's like a rule. He's like, he crushed it. I guess he was funny kind of, but he was also super like kind of scary and psycho, but also, I don't know. I just nailed it. And all the other characters too. Like that was just a kick ass book. Mm-hmm. I guess that's my final answer. Uncanny X-Force Remender.
Nice.
Damn, I wanted to say that. I mean, that was so great. Authority. I really liked Authority. I thought that was a great team book for a while. Got a little weird, but yeah, that was good.
Great, nice. Great answer, Pete.
Everything thanks. Does.
Justin, do you have one? Or you want me to go does. So you have another second?
If you have one, go for
sure.
It.
Sure. Chris Claremont, X-Men, John Byrne era, just like them going to the Outback.
Weird answer.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, it just seems like a stock, you know, like answer.
Wow.
You know, really? Chris Claremont's X-Men.
Would you just Google that?
Well, that was fucking wow, man.
Justice League. Love Justice League. That's a good team.
That's a little bit bolder.
Also a big fan of The Avengers.
Wow. Oh, wow. Interesting.
How's it feel to be a sellout?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, Chris Claremont X-Men. That's the one that still means the most to me. I think about the Outback era all the time. It was such a weird, specific thing, but that team was great, and that they had the confidence to take that and completely destroy it at the end, like break it apart and give it so much time for it to come back together, I thought was so cool. Justin, do you have an answer?
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind for me, Mark Waid's Legionnaires from back in the 90s, which I think we talked about a little bit. Felt like taking a huge team and being able to define each character, and reading that when I was sort of a similar age to the characters felt like really synced up with my life. I felt
you
like
you were just
sad. I was a real matter eater lad.
So this is Legionnaires, not Legion, right?
Right, Legionnaires,
which he also did later on.
Yeah,
which was also great.
Yeah,
and that was like a very specifically we are teens.
But he was older then, so he didn't really relate to it.
Okay. But that was also very good. That was like the take there with Legion was they were teens literally rebelling against the adults that were running society. And it was so smart and so good as well.
Yeah.
Great question. Let's get another one. Who has a question? You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
Name Caesar. Question is, well, I was going to do a comic book questions, but I think I'm going to do another question. Okay. How long before when Pete gets his money and the relatives in the woodwork start coming out, taking his money before he becomes a superhero?
You're worried he's going to be stopped from being Batman by
relatives.
Well, let me be honest. So I know we talked about that type of show. If this lawsuit goes through, Pete's going to get like $4.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So who's your broke ass Kate Kane to your Bruce Wayne?
No, I'm the brokest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'm the brokest one in the family. So
let me ask you, which one of us do you think is the better Robin, Alex or me?
You are literally wearing Robin colors right now.
You get dressed for the job you want. And I'll tell you what, I'll be your sidekick any day.
Oh, man, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Applause from the audience. Which Robin do you think I am? Am I like a Dick Damian. Grayson? Okay. Half evil?
Yeah, Damian.
So he's your son?
This is good.
That took a turn. Yeah. I was not ready for that.
There you go.
Okay, I'm your son. So if he does strike it rich with this Subway payday, I guess I inherit it as soon as you die.
Right. Which will be pretty soon.
Yeah, and if you keep eating Subway.
Who am I in this scenario now that you stacked away from the mic? Would you say you're Talia al Ghul? I agree. Well, all right, we got another question over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Okay, I'm John, and with Justin taking the hot pie role in the Fellowship, Pete being the Paninisher. Well, I've got a million of them.
Yeah.
Submarinara, we can keep going. But what is everybody else's food-based superhero? Or a la Chew, what food-based superpower would you have?
Food-based superhero.
I would love to, if I ate a meatball sub, just be able to Hulk out, you know.
That's literally what happens.
I'm looking at you right now, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin? Food-based superhero?
Let's see. Food-based superhero.
I'll give you some time again. I used to write a column called I Am Garbage Can, where I would eat literally anything. So probably the human garbage can.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
What was the weirdest thing you ate?
Anything?
I got a present, which was like a bunch of horrific candies and treats and things that was in a garbage can. And so I would eat through it, and I'd do a taste test where I'd write a column about each piece of candy.
Gross.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. I will say, you eat... I mean, we make fun of Pete for eating garbage plates.
No, I eat way worse
stuff. You eat way worse than...
Absolutely, all the time.
Because you eat, like, every weird Oreo.
Yep.
Anything that is considered a chip with a flavoring on it,
yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
I better try that.
Soda
yeah.
as well.
Just this weekend, I had Cinnamon Coke and... winter Spice Cranberry Sprite.
Wow.
Now, where are these things? Are they around? Or do you have to go find them?
Are these I got them at the Rite Aid.
The Rite Aid. Wow.
Yes, it's a specialty food
store. When you're going to these weird drinks, if you see like the... Because I'm on the hunt for that Mountain Dew Halloween, the voodoo. If you see that, give me one of those.
You know, I think I have to leave this fellowship. I hate to break it up, but our goals are sort of pretty low stakes. I mean, like, we're chasing...
Who's going to die first?
Yeah. Number one. I guess
I'm calling it. I'm calling it. Probably. I'm dying first.
Wow, you want to make that call? That's a crazy thing. I mean, obviously, we're going to do this podcast till we all die. It will be weird to be podcasting during your eulogy, but we'll do it.
We'll do it. We'll record it, and we'll send it out to Patreon members only. do you have one? Do you have a food-based superhero? God.
That's just the weirdest question. Respectfully, I'm like, oh, man,
respectfully.
What am I going to say to that? I don't drink very often, and when I do, I find that I'm like a compassionate, affectionate drunk. I'm like, oh man, I really love my friends. Like when I'm like half lit, and so I guess that's my power. So when I drink, like my relationships with my people I care about suddenly heal themselves.
Oh, that's amazing! Oh,
wow, that's a great answer.
You should drink more often.
Yeah. No, tonight we're going out.
Yeah, let's go.
We're going out.
Great.
Great question. Fun. Do we have any more questions? We could take one more if there's time. Nope. All right. Then we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Pete LePage.
We're going
to
turn it over
LePage. Don't do it. Now, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. Pablo, you have won it numerous times. I'm wondering if maybe somebody else wants to. Yeah, sir, right there. Yeah, come on.
Come on down. It's very easy.
Give it to the new guy. Sir, what is your name?
Mike.
Mike, audience, Mike.
All right. Thanks for coming out. And if you're new to the show, you're in for a treat.
Oh, my God.
Because you have just walked on stage with our diva.
What?
Our Meryl Streep. Brad Pitt. Our leading man. Our ad Astra.
All right, this is awful.
The star of Trivia, Pete LePage. Congratulations.
So, sir, I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 will be yours. Today's trivia is on topical comic news. Question number one. In February, there is a bunch of amazing artists and writers working on Marvel's Voices number one. One of the writers will be... Is it A, Method Man, B, Sanford Green, or is it C, Oprah Winfrey? So it's either A, or it's B, or C.
Wow.
Which one would you go with? Probably A, first one? Yeah, nice job.
Nice.
Method Man, back on comics again. I'm very excited. Sanford Green is the artist that will be working on a couple of those, so I'm excited for that. Question number two. Jerry Dugan and Ron Garney are teaming up on what Fantastic Four title? Is it A, Fantastic Four, Good Man Grimm, B, Fantastic Four, Grimm Noir, or is it C, Mariah Carey? So it's either A, which I completely made up, or you could choose B.
Well, C sounds tempting, but I'll go with B.
B is nice. Correct. Grimm Noir. I'm actually really looking forward to this. It's kind of a cool idea. All right, last one. The Eisner-winning Powers will return when? Is it A, March, B, June, or C, Jane Fonda? So it's either A, March, or you could pick something else.
I'll go with A.
A is correct. $25 free.
Whenever I look at the calendar and it turns over into Jane Fonda, I'm always surprised.
Well, speaking of which, there's a sub-quiz going on in this quiz where Pete relates the third answers to a Robin Williams movie.
Is that correct, yeah.
Yeah, and Robin Williams, of course. He died from eating too many Subway sandwiches. Is that what happened?
Oh, man. That's fucked up, man.
I'm sorry. I'm the one that did a weird quiz.
Yeah.
What are the third answers, Pete?
Oprah Winfrey,
yep.
Mariah Carey, and Jane Fonda.
Does anybody know the Robin Williams movie? Kevin, what's the Robin Williams movie?
The Butler?
Yeah, that is correct. Lee Daniels, The Butler.
What?
That's great. Good.
That is so weird.
As we all know, why is this happening? As we all know...
You started it.
What?
You started
it. I started it?
Yeah. No, you definitely started
it. No, you definitely started it.
How did he start it?
Yeah. He started
it. I'm going to send you a letter, be like, hello, I'm from the firm of Meatball, Pepperoni, and Pepperoni. Please cease and desist from your weird quiz. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Punisher Kill Crew number 5 of 5. I'm excited to see how this wraps up.
And this is the Punisher and some children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're
and
kind of
Foggy
mopping
Nelson.
Up. Yeah, they're mopping up from the big kind of Thor event where everybody kind of got godlike powers.
Mm. Cool, Justin. Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to.
Wait! Don't tell me. Let me guess.
Okay.
Batman number 83.
That's definitely not it.
Oh,
I mean that's going to be a good title.
I mean. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's such a great book.
Are you trying to, like...
What are you doing are you right trying now?
To, don't push your shit on me.
I'm just saying. It'd be,
what
be
is
cool
your game,
if you said that.
Pete?
Wow. I can't believe... this. Is, the pick we do is a sacred thing. And the fact that you would interrupt me and push your agenda...
That's fucked up.
Like, I'm the star. I'm the star of my pick.
I'm sorry, Pete. You're suspended from the show for 2 weeks.
Wow. Get out. You're out.
You're out,
Pete. You're
out
of here.
You're out of here.
I have no problem with that. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Oh, man. You're okay. He's back.
He's back. Back in. He called her bluff.
Yeah. You're not. We're not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with us.
That's right. Yeah.
What is your actual pick?
I'm looking forward to He-Man and the Masters of the Multiverse, which I thought by Tim Seeley, which was actually great.
Tim Seeley, it's a hell of a run.
Yeah, we'll have a full review of that in our Stack podcast that drops both in the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed Wednesdays at 9 a.m. I'm looking forward to...
I didn't know how much I was connected to the He-Man, to He-Man and his friends.
It got you.
Until I read this book.
You're a weird perv, bro.
Not a
what
pervert.
What are you talking about?
Oh, he knows what I'm talking about.
You don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about when you see the sorcerers.
What are you talking about, Pete?
Yeah. Okay, now you're... Okay, cool. They just have to listen to the Stack and know what I'm talking about.
I did want to fuck Battle Cat back then.
Totally.
You mean
normal.
Cringer, don't you?
What?
You mean
no,
Cringer?
No, after... Once he had the armor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, with I was the armor. Battle Toads.
You wanted to fuck all the Battle Toads?
All of them.
Wow. That's the...
I'm looking forward to Marauders number 2 from Marvel Comics. That title was great. The X-Men line has been great so far. I'm excited to see what happens with Kitty Pryde and her crew as they go sailing around the world on adventures. That should be lots of fun. Plug your stuff. What should people be checking out again?
Well, next week, Last God number 2 comes out. We are super stoked for that one.
Yes.
In my opinion, each issue for the next few months gets stronger and stronger, so I'm super stoked. Awesome. Make sure you check out the stuff in the back. Because I'm spending a lot of time writing that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's turning out really good, in my opinion, and number 2 especially. So please check that out. Let's see. My next thing is I've got some stuff coming out in some of the anthologies from DC. I've got a thing coming out New Year's Evil. See what I did there?
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Nice. It comes out January 1st, I think. Either New Year's Eve
that
or
makes a lot
New
of
Year's
sense,
Day.
Yeah. I celebrate New Year's Evil as well.
Right. So, yeah, I got Sinestro story in there, and then I have a story coming out, Crimes of Passion, about February. Let's see, Ghost Recon comes out in January as well, and Killer Man comes out right after that. So a lot of stuff coming out.
Man, a couple busy months.
Very cool. Check all of that out. A couple of things to plug on our end before we go. We mentioned the Patreon Slack earlier on. There's just one of the bonuses you can get if you subscribe to patreon.com/comicbookclub. Check that out. It's as low as $2 a month, and we'll chat with you about costumes and sodas and things like
that. It's a great way to follow up on Pete's legal situation.
Yeah, we have a legal Slack as well.
Because we talk about the Subway lawsuit a lot, but there are other lawsuits that Pete is... involved in various ways.
We can't get into details here.
This exactly. Prosecutor. Pete's representing some people. Right. Slack. He has a law, small
We've
law
been running him through a bunch of mock trials for when it eventually does go to trial, but we're going to figure that out.
Pete's sort of like if Foggy Nelson had a second Foggy Nelson, like a more Foggy. He's the most Foggy Nelson.
Yeah, like if they all have uniforms.
Yeah, exactly. You're the foggiest Nelson, thanks, I think, man. We could say.
Right. A couple of other things we probably should plug. We do a Watchmen podcast called Watchmen Watch that runs twice a week, once after the show airs, and then on Thursday for a bonus episode in the Watchmen Watch feed.
And who's the guest on this?
Jordan D. White is the guest this week. We're going to be talking about the previous episode, speculating about the next episode.
He's a huge Watchmen head.
He is. He's a big Watchmen fan. Yeah. Doesn't like the movie very much, but we do talk about that quite a bit on the podcast this week. Also, we have our Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark, that rolls out right after that show airs. What?
It's a cool show, man.
Very
it's so
good
chill.
Show. Very,
it's a chill, laid-back show.
What a
show.
Chill watch. You can watch it, and if you were to close your eyes and wake up later, you'd be totally fine.
Yeah. It doesn't change
it's not
you
like
forever.
A little nightmare
it doesn't
that
change you forever if you watch that
it's
show.
It's pretty nice. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. Also, you can subscribe and comment on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Phil for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really
appreciate it.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8
p.m. And as always, we're sponsored by Meatball, Salami, and Provolone, the law firm to go to if you have any sandwich-based crimes.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Of the thing.